You know, one of the ways to get your foot in the door with a prospect or with somebody who you're looking to close is to do something different than what they've seen before, to step outside the box and kind of differentiate yourself through your process. Now, I've taught you a lot about how you can change your process, but there are even other cool, amazing ways. Casey Hill, he's incredible. He's from Bonjoro. They do a lot of great stuff with personalized videos. He came in and shared some of the things he's doing to be able to get them in front of some of the best players in their industry, some of the people you really want to talk to. He gives a lot of really cool, actionable tactics on how to get your foot in the door and how to do something that other people aren't doing. So check this out. I think you're really going to like it.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
Yes, this is Sastery in the Making. I am your host, Matt Wallach. Thank you for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'm really excited to have you here. And I'm equally excited, super, super happy to have Casey Hill on the show with me. Casey, how you doing?
I'm doing phenomenal, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let me tell everybody about who you are, Casey. So Casey, he's the head of growth at Bonjoro. Bonjoro is a video messaging service which allows you to send personalized videos to your clients. I'm telling you, this is a game changer. If you can do this within your sales process, I advise my clients to do it. And when they do, it blows their prospects away. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And really, for the last decade, Casey's been focusing on helping SaaS companies rapidly scale and doing so through finding levers to create customer evangelism and brand advocacy. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Casey, once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. I'm super excited to chat with you. And yeah, I've been in the SaaS space for a long time, both in sales roles as well as marketing roles, and now in growth, kind of both of those sandwiched together. So I'm excited to get into some of the use cases and the data here.
Awesome. Can't wait. Well, first of all, tell me what's going on with you and what's coming up.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's an exciting time for us at Bonjoro. You know, we started as a personal video email product. Our mission was always kind of to take casual customers and see how we could create advocates, right? How do you take someone who just comes in the pipeline, create such a delightful experience and maybe series of delightful experiences that over time, that person becomes your marketer, that person becomes your advocate in the marketplace. We see that so much today is driven by referrals, by word of mouth, that if you can create more of that engine, it's incredibly powerful. So we actually just launched a brand new product called Testimonials that makes it super easy to gather specific video testimonials. So now you kind of are creating delight and then you can showcase that on your website. So that just launched like 3 weeks ago. So that's been an exciting process. And the vision is just to continue to try to make it really, really easy for SaaS leaders to implement these kind of delightful experiences throughout their customer journeys.
I love it. I'm a huge advocate for having great testimonials use cases. And I think video is the best way to do that. So many times with testimonials, if you see something that's just text online, you don't trust it. You don't believe that it actually happened. But if there's video showing somebody saying something great about your product, your prospects, your visitors to your site, they will believe that. And it's so powerful. I'm sure you guys are seeing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think video is really powerful because you have the facial expression. I think you have body language. And as humans, I think we like to think that we're pretty good at assessing trustworthiness when we see other people. So I think that's really powerful. That and the other thing I talk about a lot is specifics. Having very specific testimonials, instead of saying we increase bookings by 1,000%, it kind of feels like a throwaway quote. If instead you said we took bookings from 42 a week to 80, we have so much new demand, we actually had to hire a new AE to take care of that. That has context and that feels very specific and more trustworthy when you couch it like that. So that's another kind of part of that is asking people specific questions instead of just saying, leave us a review. If you can get into the specifics of people and gather things that are targeted, I think that really helps with the conversion piece of the equation.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I completely believe that that would be fantastic. So can you just give us a rundown quickly of what Bonjoro does exactly?
Yeah, so for sure. So Bonjoro is basically a personal video email tool. And for people in the market, we're like super open. So I'm going to call out our two biggest competitors right here live on the podcast because I want to help kind of paint the picture of the ecosystem. So you have tools like Loom. Loom is a phenomenal tool. It's really good for screen shares. If you're trying to, you know, grab a screen share, explain an issue, send it to someone in kind of a one-off capacity. You have Vidyard. Vidyard is really good for outbound. So Vidyard was kind of built for this, like, hey, you got SDRs, you want them to go prospect. How can we have an easy way to do that? where Bonjoro slides in is we found, look, there's these spots throughout the customer journey when a person opts in as a new lead, when someone books a call with you, when someone becomes a new customer. It'd be really cool if you could hook in with your tech, with your CRM, with your email automation system, with your point of sale. And whenever that behavior happened, it could just create a task right there on your phone and you could go send that person a video. So that was the genesis of why we built this. We said, there's some really awesome tools in the market for one-off video. But if you don't want to spend 5 minutes per video checking your CRM, getting that context, going back, it's really helpful if you could have something that connects to it. So that's kind of why we built Bonjoro. Bonjoro can look at any custom field from your CRM and show it right below the actual video. So you just pop on your app, you have the context right there, and you go to record. And it's funny, before I came to this company, I actually worked for an all-in-one marketing tool called Entreport, and I ran the sales department. And the reason that I got exposed to Bonjoro is we had a demo no-show problem. So basically 40% of our book calls just didn't show up. And we were like sending all the reminders. We were doing all the standard stuff that people do. Someone said, look, right after they book a call, send them a Bonjoro. So I said, all right, what the heck? We'll plug this thing in. So that's what we started to do, right? Not right before the call, but right after they booked. And that's actually really important because you want to capture them when they're in that headspace of wanting to know more about this tool. You send them a video during those first, say, 4 hours after they book. And we saw that no-show rate fall in half. Because now suddenly people knew, like, okay, there's a human being on the other side of this. There's a human being waiting for me. They also could take a moment and establish their expertise. They could say, hey, we deal with a ton of enterprise HR software companies, right? Or whatever the specific company was. And that had a big impact. So that's kind of a little bit on the video side. And then, yeah, the testimonial side was we saw we have all these experiences that are helping you kind of build a little bit of that starting relationship, build some of that advocacy. But it'd be awesome if you could take that, making that person a fan, you could take that and you could showcase it. And so our background, our company actually came from a company called Verbate. And Verbate gathers video testimonials for some of the biggest brands in the world, Smirnoff and Coca-Cola. And so it was kind of like a done-for-you service, but we had a deep expertise in that world. So we said, you know what? People who are sending personal videos, they probably want good video testimonials that are easy to gather, one central spot, easy to share on their website or download for a social campaign. So we kind of used our background there and built that second piece. So that's kind of what Bonjoro is doing right now.
I think it's great. There's so many different ways you can use it. It just feels like such an amazing process that not a lot of people are doing. So if somebody's looking to implement this into their process, can you give us some tips on maybe how to create a great personalized video that they'd send?
Yeah, for sure. So I think there's a couple pieces here. The first is with personalized video, it doesn't need to be hyper polished. The biggest mistake people make is they spend 5 minutes on every video or they retake their video a bunch of times. So they think they need to do it in a studio. It's different from like a produced ad, right? When you go do a promo, you don't want it to look like it's, you know, in your kitchen. But personalized video is all about relatability. So what I always tell people is if you're going for a walk or your kid runs into the frame or something comes in and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, don't cut the video. Still send that. I know it might sound crazy, but it's part of building the human connection. So the first kind of note, which is good for anyone who's a little bit uncomfortable about video or they're a little bit unsure, is to just kind of lead in with that overall mindset, right? So that's the first thing. Second thing is just some basic things, having like light in front of you. I mean, basic kind of like video tips when you're producing it. Those are always just good things to be aware of. I think recording on mobile is great because you have a lot of control. When you're in desktop, you have like one frame, whereas on mobile, you can kind of rotate it around as much as possible. And the other piece I think of this is just like kind of any medium, spend the most time of anything on the actual messaging itself, right? So think about, you know, okay, obviously call them by their name. That's like a starting point. But if you have at least one personal detail, you'll be amazed at the difference in the impact. So, you know, version number one, you just say their name. Hey, Matt, super excited to chat with you on Friday, you know, yada, 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 close it off, right? But if I know what you live or I gathered any information that, you know, had on the onset and suddenly I say, you know, oh, hey, I just was in insert location visiting my family, blah, blah, blah. You add just that one extra layer. It takes you almost no effort, but I think it has a big impact. And so, you know, in the beginning, I was talking about demo no-shows. We used to gather industry as a field on a form when people opted in. That was one piece of information that, besides saying their name, the person could say, oh, hey, we deal with a ton of e-commerce companies, actually, and then name drop an e-commerce company, give someone something specific. Now they feel like, I'm not just talking to a salesperson, I'm talking to someone who really understands my application and my industry. So I think it's like, relax, be authentic with it, get some good light in the frame if you can, but really spend the most time focused on having a compelling message and take that, even if you spend 20 seconds, 30 seconds, it can be quick, but focus on maximizing the personalization within that time frame, I think is really important.
I totally agree. Let them know that you're doing this just for them. So many times people are so used to automation and mass produced stuff that if you can put little personalization elements in there, I can see that being a huge value. And I love what you said at the end there with the time. So my personalized videos, I agree. I would like to start doing them after that initial call booking. I don't, but I do them right after they sign up and pay. And it's kind of like a welcome, super excited to have you. It is personalized. It talks about them, their company, their goals, but I do it within 20 seconds. And I've found that it's so impactful. And they're like, nobody's doing this. That was amazing. That just made my day. And it's right. Nobody else does that. And if you can do that and have that as part of your sales process, whether it's after the call, whether it's before the next call or just a follow-up or after they buy, that's a differentiator. It separates. And I talk to my clients, they think that it might be too much effort. I'm like, it's literally 15 to 20 seconds and it's so simple. And I think that people just need to incorporate it.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I'm a really data-driven person. So one of the things I think is I always tell people to just have some metrics in mind and track those. If it's on the front end, that might be around conversion. If you're using it to welcome customers, it might be around retention and how long those people stay on board. You know, dig into the numbers, get into that. That's one of the, you know, easiest ways, quote unquote, that Bonjoro is sold is I'll just tell people, like, have your baseline data, do 50% of your traffic with Bonjoros, do 50% exactly how you're doing it right now, keep track of your time. And then at the end of the month, it becomes simple, right? You're like, our team spent 6 hours for everyone doing these videos over the course of a month. And we got, say, 40 more bookings. And from that, we closed 24 more sales. Was that worth it? Right? And so it can become just like a really straightforward equation. But I definitely think it's powerful. It reminds me of something that Seth Godin, who's kind of an iconic marketer, talks about in his book, Purple Cow, which he's like, if you're driving down the road and you see a cow, like, you probably wouldn't think too much of it. But if you see a bright purple cow, what are you going to do, right? You're probably going to take a picture of it. You're going to send it to your friends or your family. Like, what the heck? Why is there a cow here? Like, it suddenly breaks the equilibrium and there's novelty to it. So I think in this world where everyone is so flooded, you know, I ignore 99% of the things that hit my inbox and my LinkedIn because every day I am pitched to death. I'm pitched from recruiters. I'm pitched for tech services. And it's just overwhelming. So part of it is when you're in this space, how are you going to stand out from the noise? And if you can kind of create what is like an experience around your product where someone remembers it and they want to share it and they want to talk to people, that I think is a very, very powerful differentiation.
I love it. I think there's been a lot of talk lately about creating experiences. And in fact, last week I presented to 600 people about creating amazing experiences. And, you know, we've heard about the experience economy. What does that all mean to you?
Yeah. So, you know, with experiences, I think if you look at, it's really, really interesting. I think people, we often forget, even looking at, say, tech companies and looking at SaaS, if you look at like HubSpot or you look at Zappos or Airbnb, I mean, you could go through a whole long list of brands. They're now billion-dollar brands, but look at what they did in the very beginning. HubSpot was helping people set up their blogs, right? Mm. Like, no one was doing it. It was a super novel experience. They were helping people navigate that. Airbnb used to tour people around the city in the beginning, right? It wasn't just a place to stay. It was this overall experience that people left and they were like, that is amazing. And their leadership team would always talk about what is a 6-star experience. And they went through that thought exercise of how could we keep elevating and just making this absolutely exceptional with that novelty, providing something positive that is novel. And, you know, Zappos is an example, did it where if someone called in and they didn't have that person's size of shoe, they would call competitors. Nobody did that. The idea that someone on your team would care so much about you getting what you wanted that they would call your competitor, that created an experience. And so I think when I think about experience, part of what I think about is it's something novel, often unexpected, and it leads to word of mouth. Someone calls their competitor to get, you're going to talk about it. You're going to be like, Zappos is freaking amazing. And next time you need a shoe, you're absolutely going to call them back because that trust is now tremendous that this person really cares about your well-being. Or HubSpot helping you set up your blog. In the early days, you know, blogs are ubiquitous now. But this whole inbound marketing thing wasn't always just everyone knew about it, right? Like that HubSpot was at the forefront of that. And they led that by creating this overall experience. So I think that's this idea of how do you get people talking about it? How do you get that person to just say like, wow, this is incredible. And so I think as brands, this is where I start to look at, you know, your overall customer journey and say, what are things you can do that are unexpected, but that are going to add additional value, that are going to make people talk about it. They're going to make people feel really excited. And oftentimes small gestures and small investments can make a tremendous difference there.
Oh, it's huge. I was just talking with a client about details and all the little details can add up. But I love what you're saying, how Zappos will refer you to a competitor, another brand, so that you can get what you need. I think that's incredible. And it actually reminds me, I wrote an article on Miracle on 34th Street, the Christmas movie, where Santa from Macy's started, if kids asked for a certain toy that Macy's didn't carry, he would send them to another store, tell the mom, hey, you can get that at the one down the street. Well, the big bosses got really upset until they realized that those became loyal customers and they trusted Macy's. They believed that Macy's was there to help them because they were giving them what they needed, not just trying to sell them something. And so one of my big mantras with my clients is I always talk about be a helper person, not a salesperson. And if you could be that guide, that advisor, and somebody who's kind of, like we talked about, creating an experience for someone that they know they're going to be taken care of by a trusted individual, I mean, that's so powerful. That's something that you can rely on because people are now going to come to you whenever they need anything in that realm.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And I mean, this is connected to this idea of thinking about customer lifetime value. So not just thinking about a sale as this, like, you know, we spent X dollars and we got this specific output. It's what is that person going to spend over the lifetime of their connection with you? And not only, this is an important designation too, not only what are they going to spend, but also what is their overall value from things like referrals, from things like word of mouth, from telling other people, from posting on social. I think that's so impactful. If we think about, I think we all take a step back and we think about how we make a lot of buy decisions today. You're going to go to a hotel somewhere you haven't been in a foreign country. Are you going to check reviews? 95% of people are, right? You're going to check reviews where you sleep. You're going to check reviews where you eat. If you buy expensive software, you're definitely going to check reviews and see what people are saying about it. So word of mouth and what outside people are saying is super, super critical. And the more that you create that advocacy within your base by going over the top to take care of them, the more you're going to get people that are really excited, that feel like they're really part of a genuine community and have that loyalty to give you that strong lifetime value over time.
I completely agree. And that's really what it's all about, LTV. You got to make sure that it's super, super strong. And that's a fantastic way to think about it. What are some of the best tactics that you're using right now to grow? I mean, you guys are doing some great stuff. I've seen you all around. What are some of the things you're doing that's helping you guys grow?
Yeah, so there's quite a few. So one, I think at a cornerstone is around partnerships, right? So we try to find people that are connected. And there's two different kind of categories of partnerships. There's integration partnerships, which have been huge for us based on how our platform is built, because we're tying in with ActiveCampaign and with HubSpot and with Shopify and Intercom and these key players. We work very closely with them. We produce content with them. We run webinars with them. We co-promote with them. So partners is super important. And we invest a lot in taking care of our partners, right? Giving them an amazing experience. You know, we work a lot with the consultants. Recently, we found a website called Tingly, like TINGGLY or something like that, where you can gift someone an experience. So what we've been doing is we found a partner who's like, oh yeah, they posted something about their, like, on their social media about their kid, like, doing surfing lessons. So we got them like a surfing package for their kid.
Wow.
Right? And they were like blown away. For us, it was, you know, whatever, a 3-hour session, $150, but it built so much goodwill. The partner was like, I've never seen, you know, they're like, I've gotten like branded mugs before, but I've never seen anything like that. And so that's kind of like a top level bar, or I guess thing that we're shooting for. So with integration partnerships, we lean into that very heavily. And then we also do a lot of collaborative partnerships. So that's just people that have the same kind of core audiences that we have. We find people that where there's alignment and we say, look, how can we create value around problems that we're both trying to solve? So if we have common use cases that we're aligned around, we basically work with them, we co-promote, we will feature people inside of our content. Some brands, I think, are very scared to have any like conversation of any outside parties in their organic content. And I think that you absolutely want to treat your list as gold. Don't spam them with, you know, a bunch of like random offers. But where there's real value to be had, where there's tools that they might already be using, and you might be able to provide some sort of benefit or discounting, that sure, I think has a ton of value. I was chatting with a guy named Dale from Business Blueprint. He said he custom negotiates deals for his customer on the tools they use. He'll pull them and be like, what tools are you guys using? He'll go to that team and he'll basically negotiate a 50 license deal. I was like, that's wild. I had never heard of that, but he's like, my user base is so like over the top happy about that. I mean, you can imagine a tool you use, you're part of a business program. The guy comes back. It's like, all right, everyone's getting 20% off. I mean, that's wild, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So partnerships,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, that's really clever. So partnerships is a huge one for us. And then I think kind of connected to that, we look for amplification. And what I mean by amplification is how can you get the core message? So not the product, but like what the product means, the core problems you're trying to solve. How do you get that in front of 100x? So from a social strategy, it means that I repurpose everything I do on 10 different platforms. So when I post on LinkedIn, I'm also posting on Reddit. I'm also posting on Twitter. I'm posting on Demand Curve and SaaS focused Slack groups. I have a whole list of places that I'm going to put that content. That's part of it. And then this is oftentimes connected with partnerships, hopping on webinars, hopping on podcasts, hopping on collaborative articles to talk about the core concepts that are important and showing reciprocity, making sure that you're investing in promoting those things with them. That's another huge piece of this to anyone listening. Like, partnerships is all about reciprocity. So if you For are sure. like, oh, hey, go feature me in this thing, and then you don't promote it, you don't put energy behind it, that person's going to be like, oh, okay, right? That person's not invested. On the flip side, you push it, you promote it, you start getting a bunch of attention to the content that they're producing. They're like, oh, this person's awesome. And you start to continue to work with them over time. So those are some of the core like starting things that we focus on. I mean, we do tons of experimentation. So we try like all sorts of different video strategies. We, you know, create playbooks. We have, you know, we could go through a long list, but I think partnerships and amplification, if I was to really start with kind of where to have your headspace, I think is really strong.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. It's super, super good stuff. So if you're a new early stage software company, and your startup, or you're in those early growth stages, what advice would you have for those leaders who are looking to help themselves grow?
Yeah, for sure. And I do a lot of outside consulting with early stage SaaS people. So this is something that we run into a lot. I think the biggest thing is understand what's fundamentally wrong in your industry or space and make powerful cornerstone content about it. So part of the problem is everyone tends to start by creating like, our product is great because, and it's like, here's all the things that our product is doing really well. But I think you want to take one step back and you want to say, what is the market missing? Why do we care about you? What is even the purpose of having a tool like yours in the world, right? Especially if there's five other incumbents that are bigger, larger, that are doing kind of similar things. You don't want to walk in and be like, well, we do this one little feature that they don't do. That's not compelling to anyone. But if you walk in and you say, look, here's why these things are broken, here's why they're wrong, and people intrinsically feel that, they're like, yeah, you know what? Actually, that does really annoy me. Now you have attention. And now you can take that core message that you just made, that core cornerstone content, go deep into the data, make that really strong, and then use that to reach out to people to start having conversations, to go onto webinars, to go onto podcasts, to do collaborations. That becomes a central thing that you can expand from, and it's organic. So you're not starting by saying, I need $50,000 a month in ad budget to run this thing. You're starting with that core differentiation and then webbing out from there. So that's always like my headspace. When you're early stage, you often don't have a ton of discretionary like stuff to be throwing out for these really deep awareness plays from a paid perspective. The question becomes, from an organic perspective, how can I maximize the amount of eyes and lean into that amplification? So instead of your own blog, your own podcast, your own, now don't get me wrong, these are good things to do. I absolutely think that having owned content, but understand they're long term. So when you run, if you're trying to hit some quarterly goals and you're like, I'm going to start a podcast next week, or I'm going to start, you know, a webinar series, or I'm going to start whatever, you're not going to hit it overnight. So, so work to get amplification from outside parties while at the same time building those assets and showing reciprocity and also featuring these other people. And that I think is kind of the recipe. I know that kind of was a kind of expansive answer to your question, but hopefully touches on some good advice.
No, it's great. That's definitely something that people can follow. I think that's awesome. And a lot of the stuff you've shared, Casey, has been really actionable and amazing advice that I totally agree with. But unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. So I want to make sure that people can connect with you and learn more about what you're doing and Bonjoro. So what are the best ways for them to connect with you?
Yeah, for sure. So anyone who wants to can email me, just Casey at Bonjoro, C-A-S-E-Y at Bonjoro.com. Welcome to reach out. I'm also super active on social platforms like LinkedIn. So if you just go LinkedIn.com/Casey Hill, just my full name, C-A-S-E-Y-H-I-L-L, drop me a connect request. Would love to chat on that avenue. And those are kind of the two best ways to get in touch with me personally. If anyone's interested in like Bonjoro, that's just Bonjoro, B-O-N-J-O-R-O.com. So feel free to check that out. It's open, meaning that no credit card. You can just get in there, test it out for your application and see if it makes sense. But please, anyone who's curious and connecting, I always like to talk with new people.
I love it. And we'll put all that information in the show notes as well if you're listening on the podcast or in the description down below on YouTube. So Casey, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything.
Yeah, grateful for your time, Matt.
Awesome. And everybody else out there, thank you for watching. Thanks for listening. It's been awesome having you here. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. You do not want to miss any other creators and leaders like Casey coming in and sharing their amazing knowledge. So hit that subscribe button right now. And if you like, give a rating to the show. I want to see what you think about it and if we're providing good stuff for you. So put a rating down in there as well. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you next time. Take care.